Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Father, we thank you, first of all, for the reports of testimonies and the good news and all the words of encouragement that were given. And Lord, looking to you as our provider, as our director, as our appointer, you make appointments for us. Lord, we even thank you for the stirring that you're doing where Marquise and Che are working out and how they're trying to stir up righteousness and stir people up to good works. And Lord, we just pray that you would continue to move and even begin to show signs, wonders, and miracles amongst them as they step out in faith and begin to pray and touch these people. And Lord, all those that they've invited, whether they come here or go to other churches, Lord, we just pray that they get into the body of Christ. That's the most important thing. And so, Lord, we pray as we open your word tonight that you would show us how to know you and reveal yourself to us as only you can do. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because you're the great teacher, and I'm just here as your vessel. And speak to people beyond my words in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. And you know, knowing God is really the heart cry of the world. And many have come to the conclusion that you cannot know God. That's why they don't serve God. And that's because most people think you could know God by your intellect. They seek to discover him in the things of creation. And the scripture says that God is more than his creation. Although his creation gives testimony of his existence, you can't know him just through creation. And that's so important to understand because, you know, people are in awe of great waterfalls or sceneries and, oh, look at that. That's so beautiful. You know, I really sense God's presence. And you may sense God's presence, but there is no relationship with the sunset. There's no relationship with the majestic mountains and the great views and things. I mean, you know, Art, who comes here, you guys all know Art. Every time I take him home and we go by the downtown, he's just in awe of the downtown scenery. He says, man, Pastor, will I ever get tired of looking at that? And I said, probably sooner or later. But I mean, every time we drive, he says, can you look? This is just the greatest city. I've never been in a city like this. There's the water here and the buildings. And I was like, man, this guy really loves Seattle. But there's no relationship in that. There's just... yes, there's beauty, there's natural beauty, but God wants us to know him. And the thing about it, though, is like I said, you can't know him through discovery. You can't know him through analyzing the years of a tree and looking at the rings on the trees and trying to figure out what how long. All that is important and helps you to understand some things, but it doesn't get you to a relationship. And God wants us to know him. He created us to know him. Amen? The purpose of creation was to create a people. Now, even though he creates animals first, he goes through all the creation of the creatures before he finally gets to people. And then when he creates people, notice he doesn't spend time with the whales. Because he says, the Bible says he created, I think the whale was the first animal mentioned. He creates all the animals, but he only spends time with the people, with Adam and Eve. And so God wants us to know him. He has a hunger. It's funny, if God has a desire, it's to know his people and for his people to know us. And God's desire is, you might say, well, why does God want to know people when he has the host of heaven and the angels? The angels, I mean, think about it. Angels didn't do any wrong. They aren't hard-headed like people are. I mean, you know, angels are obedient. You know, God tells them, go wipe out 185,000. They don't say, oh, God, that's terrible. Don't you think that we have a better... No, they just do what they're told. They don't be giving them no back talk. But he desires that mankind come to know him. And it's just such a bizarre thing, given how disobedient people are. I mean, you think about it, the majority of people don't know God and don't want to know God. Well, I shouldn't say don't want to. Like I heard a preacher say years ago, if you knew God, you would love him. If you really knew who he was, you would love him. But of course, the enemy gets in there and he mucks up the whole thing. He tries to make everything look like it's impossible. You can't do this. You can't do that. God is not interested in you. Who are you to think that you're important to God? All these things we've all thought in our heads. You know, I hate it when people say prayers like, well, God, you know, I'm just an insignificant this, and I know you have all the... Man, look, don't go there. God is not up there working you into his planner. It's like, well, wait, hold on, Harold. No, you cannot pray until, let's see, it's June 5th is when I can squeeze you into my... No, he can do everything at all times. He's not into all that. Well, oh, man, if Harold asks me too much, I can't work with the people in Asia, or I can't touch anybody in Africa, or I can't touch the people. No, God is not like that. But we think he is, and that's because we don't know him. We don't understand who he is. And so I want to try and see if we can do something to open up the heart of God. But the main thing we have to look at, and this is the first in the steps, is that we only know God because he reveals himself to us. And that's what goes back to intellect. See, people are so arrogant. And it's amazing because you think about it. As babies, we know nothing. Right? I mean, nobody, you know, we always hear people say, well, you know, like somebody is saying, like, oh, I heard this about Steph Curry. They say, well, Dale Curry could shoot. Now Steph Curry can shoot. So he must have been born that way. Now, come on. What infant comes out shooting three-pointers? Nobody. You learn everything you have. The fact that he can shoot like his father is because his father probably took him out to shoot. It's just that simple. But we always want to say stuff, well, he was born that. He's naturally gifted. No, everything takes training. Everything takes training. And everything we get, we were taught. Amen? Amen? I don't care how, you know, the most intelligent person in the world could not read when they're an infant. Einstein could not read when he was a baby. Somebody had to teach him how to read. So for people to think that they know stuff because they've learned it and they don't attribute their learning to the teacher, that's arrogance. That's an assumption that they've made that is not true. And so the thing I've understood, because I was one of those arrogant people, I thought I was smart and thought I knew this and thought I knew that when I was a younger person. But what really got me out of that world of self-reliance was the fact when I opened the Bible and I could not understand a word I was reading. And I'm saying, Lord, I pride myself, and maybe that was my problem, I pride myself as being a pretty smart guy, but I don't have any idea what this book is trying to tell me. And not only that, I even got mad and said, Lord, I thought this was supposed to teach me righteousness. And I can't, why is all this Adam begat Seth? And why is that in the Bible? I don't get it. Because I was foolish. And it wasn't until God revealed himself to me that I began to understand why he did, and then understood that he was actually what? Smarter than I was. And so I began to understand him because he began to reveal himself to me. He began to open things up to me. and give me an understanding of things that I did not understand. And that's what helped me get over my pride and all my arrogance and my self-reliance, because I understood that it's not by study, but it's by revelation. And so the first thing people have to understand, if you're going to know God, you have to let him reveal himself to you. And therein is a problem, because people want to make God out to be who they want him to be. Right? I mean, people want to define God the way they want to define God. I was reading this book. It's a pretty famous book for, if you know historical books, it's called The Age of Reason. And it's written by Thomas Paine, which is one of the founding fathers of this country. And he came up with what he called a theology. Now, he wanted to believe in God, but then he wanted to redefine God. He said, well, I believe in God. He says, but I don't believe in any of the church doctrines. And then he says, and I don't believe that Jesus is any more the Son of God than any of us. Now he's already stepped out of bounds. Yeah, exactly. So after I read that, I didn't really want to read anymore, because it was foolishness after that. So what you see he did was he lifted God up, but he brought Jesus down to our level. And see, that's what the world always wants to do, is they want to see, because if Jesus is lifted up, you have to acknowledge him as the Son of God, the Savior of the world. But everybody wants to discount him and make him just a good guy, a good teacher, good philosopher, good preacher, good whatever, but he's not God. But the Bible clearly says he is God. But this is the kind of thing that people want to do in their own reasoning. We want to try to reason and rationalize and put this piece with that piece and come up with an answer. But it's not like that when it comes to the things of the Spirit. God has to reveal himself to us. Amen? Amen. So that's the first step to knowing God. He has to reveal himself to us. And let's look at a couple of scriptures. Let's look at Luke 10:22. And then we're going to go to Isaiah 55 after this. So Luke 10:22 says, and this is Jesus talking, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son. And then he adds this, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So you really can't get to know the Father unless Jesus opens him up to you. And Jesus, as he told Thomas when he was getting ready to leave, he says to him, you know, they said, you have seen the Father, and that be sufficient for you. And Thomas said, Jesus, show us the Father so that we will be satisfied. And then Thomas says, Thomas, have I been with you so long and you don't know me? He says, he who sees me has seen the Father. He says, don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? So Jesus is showing that if you really want to know who God is, look at me. That's what he's saying. That's the revelation truth. If you want to know God, if you want to get to know God, you've got to know who I am. Because I'm the only one that knows the Father inside out. And I'm the only one that has come down from heaven to reveal him to you. That's why it's amazing how many people want to just take Jesus out of the equation. Now, we know why they want to do it, right? It's the devil. It's nothing but the devil. Because the devil lost the battle to Jesus. He got beat up trying to beat up Jesus. And now he wants to lie about, you know those guys that get in fights? And they get beat up, but when they tell everybody else they won the fight, you know those guys? I remember when I was in elementary school, you know, so-and-so get into a fight. Yeah, man, you should have been there. I was all over him. And then I said, wait a minute, man, I saw that fight. You were on the ground getting pounded. No, I'm not talking about that fight. I'm talking about The guys who lost the fight always got a different report. And that's the devil. He lost the fight, and he's got a story about the fight. And if you've never read the book, you don't know who won the fight. So God is telling us that you can only know him through revelation. Let's go to Isaiah, and let's look at what it says there. And these are passages that most of us have read. I know these are some of Annas's memory verses, at least Isaiah is. Well, it used to be mine too, but I didn't stop doing all that. She still does the bless her heart. But we know this is, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. So right away, he's telling us, you're not even on my level. Okay? Let's just say it out loud. You're not close to me. You don't think like I think. You don't know what I know. So don't think that you can come up with a system that you have no idea what that system is all about. And he goes on to say, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I mean, think about it. We're down here, the heavens, you can't even measure that distance. You got to start measuring it in light speed. You know, there's 10 light years away. And I mean, you know, the heavens are so far higher than the earth. And he says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, like Marquise was talking about, and bread to the eater. Then he says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Now you might say, well, what does that have to do with what we're just talking about? It's by his word being sent to the earth that we understand who he is. It's the word that God has given to man that helps us to understand who he is. That's the revelation that we get from God. Because have you ever thought about this? How did Moses know the creation story? How did he know what the devil said to Adam and Eve? Well, he wasn't there. We know he wasn't there. How did he know all that? By God revealing these things to him. God had to tell him that stuff. Nobody else was there. Unless, I don't believe Adam wrote a book. I don't know of a book that Adam wrote. But so all the things, many of the things that were written by Moses especially, were revealed directly from the presence of God. So that's the beginning of knowing God, is to understanding that we can't grasp him with our natural understanding. We don't understand why the things, well, let me just say this, because of our brokenness, and when I say our brokenness, our fallen nature, that even limits our understanding all the more and causes us to go through more than we would have ever had to go through had sin not entered the world. I mean, if you think about it, if the way God had designed things, you know, there would be no problem having 20, 25 kids for one person. I know that's... I mean, you have kids forever. Because there was no pain, there was none of that stuff. You just had children. But because of sin, you bring forth children in pain. Why? Why is that? And that's one of those head scratches. Why, God, is it painful to bring forth children? Why? Because you're bringing them into a world that's full of death. And that's why pain, you bear children in pain. And you raise children in pain because of the things that you have to go through with them, trying to teach them, stay out of trouble, Johnny. Stay out of trouble, Sally. Don't do this, Johnny. Don't do this, Sally. Stay away from this person. Stay away from that person. And, you know, of course, they don't always listen to you. And so you grieve as a parent, not just in childbirth, but you grieve constantly because of the disobedience of your children. And that's, you know, I'm not trying to pick on anybody's children because we all were disobedient. Come on now. I mean, the best of child is disobedient in some things, right? So we have to understand that it's these are the kinds of things that happened because of the fall, and that's why God had to send his word to help us to understand what we're going to be going through. And it's a, you know, we always kind of gloss over the fall, but the fall was such a horrendous thing. It was clearly not what God had planned for the mankind. Clearly not what he planned for. You know, everybody talks about, well, how come there's this? How come there's wars? How come there's famine? Because of the fall. That's the answer to every bad question. Why did so-and-so kill 10 people? Because of the fall. Why did so-and-so leave his children? Because of the fall. We're fallen beings. And because of we're fallen beings, we don't have the capacity to understand a holy God. And we always want to make God out to be something else. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say about the flood, why, that's God shouldn't have done that. Who in the world are you to tell what God should and shouldn't do? I mean, the audacity to say what God, if I was God, I wouldn't have done that. Well, that's why you're not God. Because you don't have enough information to make the decision that God made. You're not all knowing. I don't know why God did what he did, but I'm not going to be stupid enough to say, well, God, when I get to heaven, I want you to explain that to me. No, you don't need to know. It's none of your business. Like Jesus told Peter when he was asking him about John. What about John? What's going to happen to John? Hey, look, that's none of your business, man. If he wants to live, if I want him to live until I return, then that's his business. You do what I told you to do. And that's what God is trying to get us to understand. Don't concern yourself with the things that you don't understand. Even Moses said, the hidden things are for God. But the things that he has revealed are for humans or men or mankind. That's what we should deal with. That's what we get to know. So we have to understand that because of our limited capacity, because we don't understand, because of the fall, we have to understand God by how much he shows us himself, how much he reveals himself to us. And we know that. Also, the next thing we look at is to getting to know God is to believe who he is and what he represents or stands for. Believe who he is and what he represents or stands for. See, we have to understand that God requires us to trust him to begin to understand him. Now, isn't that a weird thing? In order to understand who God is, you have to believe that he exists first. That seems like a contradiction. Because most people think, well, I'll discover him as I'm going through the process. No, we already talked about it. You can't discover. You can discover there's a creator, but you have to believe in God to understand him. Let's look at a few scriptures here. Look at, of course, we know Hebrews 11:6, one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible. This is from, you go from faith one, when it talks about faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it says, for by it, faith obtained, the elders obtained a good testimony. Then you go down to 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So it starts to, the revelation starts with believing who God is, and that he is able to do what you need him to do in your life. Amen? It starts there, that because most people are seeking God because they need an answer. And that you have to first start then and say that God is the source of the thing that I need an answer to. He's the one that can give me the answer to my questions. And, you know, sometimes we don't always get that answer right away. And that's one of the frustrating things about being a believer, is God does not always speak to us about the circumstance right away. You know, a thing will happen to us, and we go away and says, God, why? We go through our righteous checklist. Lord, I've been doing everything I'm supposed to do. Why does this happen? Why is this happening? How come this keeps happening? What's going on? And I've come to the realization that I stopped asking why, because I don't know if I've ever got that answer to the why question. But so what I do is I may ask it, but then I say, but Lord, no matter what, I'm going to trust you. So it doesn't really matter why. I'm going to put my trust in you, and you're going to bring me through this situation, whatever it takes to get through it. Amen? Amen. We have to understand that God is a rewarder of them that believe in him. And then it doesn't just stay at believe. It says that diligently seek him. He rewards those who are diligently seeking him. Amen? Now that means that as a believer, our process the process of our life is we have to be pursuing the things of God and God himself in order for him to reward us for what we do or what he's called us to do. Anyway, let's go to Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And this is, again, one of those passages that are usually pretty familiar. Even sometimes I've heard non-Christians quote this verse. And it says here, he has shown you, O man, what is good. So he's talking about, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. This is what God wants people to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So it's not just doing justice, it's not just being merciful, but what's the third step? It's to be in relationship with him. Walking is always an indication of relationship. Amen? You can't walk with anybody if you're not in relationship with him. We have to, above all things, seek to be in relationship with him, and then we can learn how to be just to people. We can learn mercy. Why? Because the one who knows mercy is walking with us. He's with us. So he teaches us, just like what Che was talking about with the lady. That's a merciful act. God had her in his mind, and so he put him on your mind. And just to touch what you were saying, Shay, when you are given an opportunity or somebody gives you the right to pray for them, that's when the gifts of the Spirit, that's the opportunity to allow those gifts to come forth. Even though it might take them, like you say, might shock them, surprise them, or whatever, but I've always said, if they let me pray for them, then they're going to get everything I got for them. That's the key. If they don't let me pray, if they say, well, yeah, you can pray for me later. Okay. It wasn't obviously, it was not that time. But if we get to touch hands and God has given me something for them, they get what I get. Amen? And that gives you that opportunity. They have given you permission to walk into their life. That's how we know God. By doing what he's given us the heart to do. But this scripture clearly says that he requires us to be just and merciful, but humbly walk with him. Amen? Amen. The next thing is Psalms 51:6. And what I'm trying to show is what God wants out of people. And again, we only know what God wants by what? Revelation. Amen. We don't know. See, people, You know, people always want to think that it's about doing good deeds, but no, it's not just about doing good deeds. Jesus did not just do good deeds. He did God deeds. He did what the Father told him to do. That's the difference between a good deed and a God deed. A good deed anybody can do, but only a God deed you can only do when he tells you to do it. Amen? And the only way you can do a God deed is you got to hear what God is saying so that you can do what he's telling you to do. That's the difference between knowing him and just wanting to do something good. You know, we see people on the side of the road and we want to give them something, you know, to help them. You know, that no matter the story, you know, some of those stories we know ain't true. Come on now. First of all, I tell Annis, well, let me tell you something. If he is disabled, he's probably on disability. Let's just be honest. You know, they got the sign, I'm a disabled vet. Well, I know, and maybe this is because I know too much about stuff like that, but a disabled vet gets money from the VA because when you're disabled as a veteran, they automatically pay you money. Okay, so so just say, I ran out of money this month, and I'm standing here because I used up my check foolishly. Just write that on the sign, and then at least we'll know what you're trying to tell us. But we want to help, but sometimes what we want to do, our good deed, is not something that they need. Because the world, we know the world needs help, we don't want to help them in the wrong way. And that's why I'm very cautious about giving people, strangers, money. There, every time, every now and then, this guy was going through the garbage can one time. I was walking by. And he was going to the garbage can, and he was pulling out pieces of eaten sandwiches, and he was about to eat it. And I don't know if I slapped it out of his hand, but I told him, hey, put that back here. He really was looking for something to eat. And I'm not going to let somebody standing in front of me eat out of the garbage. So I gave him some money. But most people I won't give money to. I just won't unless God really says, give him money. What I used to do when I used to fast, you know, the scripture says, you know, when you fast, you're supposed to take your food and share it with the poor, right? So when I fasted, I would take my lunch that Annis made, and Annis makes some good sandwiches. I would take it to give to the guys that were supposedly hungry. And you know how many people rejected that? They would say, no, I don't want that. No, I don't want that. I would have to work hard to find somebody that would take a sandwich. And I've said, now look at this. They have these signs saying, we'll do anything for food, or I'm hungry. Anything would help, but they wouldn't take a sandwich. So that told me that they're not telling me the truth. They're just, it's a scheme, it's a scam. So we have to understand that this, in order to do God's business, we have to allow God to tell us so that we don't just do good deeds, but we're doing God deeds. But let's look at Psalms 51:6 says, behold, you desire truth. Look at what it says. In the inward parts. What does that mean? Truth in the inward parts. That means you're honest with yourself first. You're not playing the hypocrite game, the mask game. See, the word that comes from hypocrite is actually acting. No bad thing against you. But they're pretending to be something that they're not. And God says he wants you to have truth inside, meaning that it takes him to first reveal that truth so you're not self-deceived. God does not want us walking around self-deceived. And we also know the scripture that says, you know, man looks on the outward, but God looks at the heart. And God looks at the heart, not so he can just look at the heart, but so he can reveal your heart to you so that you can change your heart. Amen? See, that's what God is in the changing business, because people need so much change. The reason why so many people have so many issues is because they're not truth. There's not truth in the inward part. We're hiding something. We're covering things up. We don't want people to see what's in us. Even though God knows, and we know sometimes we say, well, God knows, but nobody else does. But God doesn't just want you and him to know. He wants you to get that out. He wants you to deal with what you're dealing with so that you can be who you're supposed to be. And then he goes on to say, and in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. So that he wants truth in the inward parts, and he wants our hearts to be filled with wisdom. And that has to be his wisdom, because we don't have any wisdom in the inward parts of us outside of the God that we serve. And he's talking about the inward part, meaning the spirit man, our inner man, that part that he comes to live in and dwell in. David was probably the closest person to a New Testament believer that we see in the Old Testament. Because some of the things David says are actually New Testament revelations that he understood in the Old Testament. Now, whether he walked in it fully, I don't know. But we do know that he writes about it. And this kind of stuff right here, and this is the funny thing about this psalm, is this is after the Bathsheba incident. Psalm 51 is about when he had just committed adultery and had her husband knocked off. So obviously God is dealing with him in this situation. He's understanding a new truth because of what he's just gone through. And that's the beauty of what God, but what I'm trying to show us here is the things that God wants from us. Truth on the inside, wisdom from the inside. And we only get that from him. Amen? What time is it? I can't see the clock no more. Oh, wow, already. Well, let me just stop there then. But let me bring this. I'll leave the points till next week. But we have to understand this, is that just as God reveals himself to us, people know other people through revelation. In other words, you get to know your friends by what they tell you. Right? And unfortunately, some of the people we know did not reveal to us truth. And so they were, as we like to say, not honest. Or some say, just come out and say they were liars. They told us what they wanted us to know about them. And some of it was not true. So every relationship depends on revelation. Now, the great thing now is you could do background checks on people. Now, this is the new, I mean, I know you could always do background checks, but back in the old days, it took forever. But now you can get on the internet and do background checks on people. And the truth that they tell you, you can compare notes to see if it's really true. And I'm amazed how little people know about the people they call themselves their friends with. Many times we don't even know their last name. What's your friend's last name? Oh, gosh, man. Samson? Something like that. You can't call that person no friend if you don't even know their last name. Come on now. That's like somebody, you know, sometimes you go to work and people say, well, yeah, Harold's my friend. Well, what do you know about me? We work together. Well, okay. I sit next to you, but what do you really know about me? And, you know, I used to ask my sons this. You know, they talk about they have these girls. And I said, well, tell me about them. What do you know about them? They know nothing about them. And I said, well, how can you like somebody and you don't know anything about them? Well, she's cute. Of course she's cute. That's why you were interested. But that does not tell you anything about her or about him. And see, that's why, people used to, and I'm talking about when I was 16, 17, 15 years old, They used to ask me, why do you ask so many questions? And I'm saying, I said, well, wait a minute. How am I going to get to know who you are if I don't ask you questions? I mean, I should have asked them, what are you hiding that you don't want me to ask you questions? I used to get girls ask me that. Why do you ask so many questions? I don't know how else to get to know you. What am I supposed to do? Stand here and just look in your eyes and look in my eyes and we smile and grin at each other? And then some song comes on the radio. I like that song. Yeah, I like that song too. No, you get to know people by getting information from them. And it's so important that we understand this principle. It's the same principle that we deal with God. The difference is God does not lie. He reveals himself to us in truth. And so we have to also believe that when we deal with people, we personally have to deal in truth, but we always have to understand that we need to know about people just like we need to know about God. And we need to understand, because that's how ministry happens. See, the reason why there's so many problems in the church is people are not honest. They don't want the pastor to know, especially the pastor. But they don't want anybody in the church to know. But they really don't want the pastor to know. But, you know, the reality is you know things. You notice things. You notice things about people. You can watch people and know things. You don't even have to tell them. You can watch how they respond to people, the fact that they sit in the back, or if they come in the front. I mean, the back tells you what? Well, they're not too sure about it. And then if they come in the front, that means they're usually not, they're more confident. And that's just little things. In the middle, they want to blend. They want to mix. But sitting in the back, they want to be close to the door, so as soon as they say amen, they can get out. But those are little things. But we have to know God. But God helps us to know people. And as a church, we have to know one another. Amen. All right, I got to close because it is after 8:30.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.